Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Honored to have you with us today. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my discussion with Celeste Lee about learning to triumph over suffering. But first, I want to take a minute to just thank you. Thank you for partnering with Faith Radio. We hear from so many of you who listen to Faith Radio, and God is using this programming in your life to help you grow in your faith. We are so encouraged to partner with you in ministry, and your gifts really do change lives. So thank you. It is a joy for us to do this ministry with you. And when you contact us, know this, we pray for you by name on a weekly basis. Now, maybe God is nudging you to give even now, though you've not given before. You can do that safely online by going to our website, myfaithradio.com, and just click on the tab that says Donate. Well, while you're at the website, take a few minutes to look through our articles and our programs. We've got resources available to help you live out your faith in every aspect of life. Finances, how to prepare for marriage, how to find a spouse, how to share your faith and be a witness in your workplace. There are many programs you can listen to. And so here's a good example. Go to our main page and click on Latest Podcast to hear my conversation with Chip Ingram. He joined me yesterday to talk about what it means for us to have true spirituality and what it means to be a mature believer in Christ. And there are so many resources just like that at our website. I cannot urge you enough to take advantage of them. Well, if you hear a podcast or read an article that you think would be helpful for someone else in your life, maybe a coworker, a family, or friend, you can share it with them by clicking on the share button in the corner of the page. This is one way you can be a radio missionary. And you may not feel called to another country or city to share the gospel, but we're all called to bring the message of hope, the message of the kingdom to those in our lives. And Faith Radio is honored to help you do just that. We also want you to know, too, that we would love to have your input on programs and topics. So if you don't have access to a computer, you can just call our Faith Line. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And you can leave a message for myself, for Neil, Ted, PK, or any of the rest Faith Radio team. Well, let us know when there's a program or a guest that challenges and encourages you. We'd love to hear from you. It's just another great way for us to connect with you as we walk this journey together. So here's my question for you. Are you walking through suffering right now? Want to know how we can pray for you? And I asked that same question on Facebook, and I'll be praying for you by name, those of you who posted your prayer needs on my page. And it's facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Since 1992, Dr. Celeste Lee has transitioned from her private medical practice to public health, dedicating her medical work to the care of patients with HIV and AIDS. She and her husband, John, are raising two teenagers, Alec and Jenna, and you can find her full biography and resources online at triumphoversuffering.com. Dr. Celeste, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to today's conversation. Well, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And you chose the passage Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. I don't know if you have it in front of you, if you'd like me to read it, but then I'd love for you to speak to it. Should I read it, or do you have it in front?
Sure. I have it in front of you. Let me read it.
Okay.
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you.
Talk about that passage.
I love this passage from Isaiah. It's one of my favorite ones because it speaks so much of the depth of God's love for us. His understanding that in this world we will have trouble, we will suffer, and yet he will be with us and his hand of protection will be on us every step of the way. And the reason why at the very end, since you are precious and honored in my sight and because I love you, and that just so lifts me up just to really recognize the depth of his love for us.
And, you know, we so often skip over that, but I want each person listening today to picture God grabbing your face in his hands and saying, you are precious and you are honored in my sight. I mean, that's hard for us to let in sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I surely have struggled with that myself. The feeling of unworthiness and self-hatred and low self-worth. And I certainly see so many people dealing with that. And yet, those are lies of the enemy. What God says, the truth of his word, who he says we are, is that we are precious and honored in his sight. We're adopted. We're loved. We're chosen. He has great purpose for us. And even in the midst of the suffering, if we can focus on that, it will really draw us, our eyes onto him.
Well, Celeste, I love that you picked that passage to start out with, because you and I both believe this is foundational to who we are in every season of life. Yes. But it seems in suffering is when that our identity tends to feel up for grabs, but it never is it?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And if we could really get that planted so deeply in our heart, who we are in Jesus, that he never leaves us or forsakes us, that his love for us is so deep, then it will really help us to carry through the sufferings in him instead of spiraling down into despair.
Hmm. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Celeste Lee today. We've got four copies of her book, Triumph Over Suffering, and it just feels like a manual, that a devotional manual, if there is such a thing, to combine these two with her expertise in scripture and encouragement to walk you through getting perspective again if you're suffering. So if you've got a question for our guest today, or if we can just stand with you and pray with you, we'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So why don't we start with just sharing how God planted the seed of this book in your heart, Celeste?
Well, the original impetus to write this book came from my work with my patients. I'm a physician. I work in HIV and AIDS clinic in Florida. And I was really heartbroken because of the suffering my patients had gone through. I felt like they really could not experience the love of God. I mean, these patients have been so humiliated and abused and traumatized and in such a way that it just blocked their ability to even understand who God was and where he was in all their pain. And I started asking myself those questions. Lord, where are you in this? Do you even care? Do you even notice? And that sent me on just a desperate search through scriptures to know who this God was in our suffering. Is he the same God as in our triumphs as he is in our sufferings? And that really led me to write something that I wanted to share, a message that I really wanted to share with those who are in afflictions and trauma and trials and pain.
Well, what are some of the very important things? We're going to unpack a lot of the content of the book over the hour, but if there were just a couple of really key important takeaways for that person who's driving today that they need to hear regarding God and his perspective on suffering, what would you say?
That's a big question. Yes. Most important thing is that when we're hit with a trial or an affliction and suffering, we have two choices. We can turn to God or we can turn away from God. And if we turn to God in our suffering, we will find that he is there and his comfort is there and his plan and his purpose is there. But we really need to open ourselves up to him in order to receive that from him. And I think one of the most critical ways we can open ourselves up to him is to go to him in the depth of our emotions. If we try to stuff our emotions or pretend that everything's okay or kind of pretty things up or say, I'm a good Christian, I can forgive that person, or this isn't really bothering me, then we really miss that opportunity to encounter God. But if we go to him with the raw honesty of our pain and our anger, that's when we can first encounter him and allow him to start that work in our hearts.
So good. You address a few of the statements that are often spoken when someone is suffering, because people don't exactly know what to say. They either stay away because they don't know how to manage this. And sometimes they're well-intentioned. But even so, these are common statements. I'm going to read them from your book. What this one is painful. And I've had this one said to me before. You must have done something to rouse the wrath of God. God uses these things to punish us. What is God punishing you for? What's God trying to tell you? That's one. You said God never wants anyone to suffer. Just believe it and claim the victory over your suffering. And then the Bible says to be joyful in everything and to give thanks in everything. Are you thanking God for this situation? Or you're suffering because your faith is just not strong enough. Cheer up. It could be a whole lot worse. I mean, these are probably the worst things you could say to someone who's suffering. Talk about why that is. I mean, it seems obvious and it's sad, but these are things that people will say when someone's hurting.
Absolutely. And it is, as you said, sometimes these are well-meaning. I'm thinking about Job and his friends who came and sat in silence with him for a week because they were so horrified at what he had gone through. But then when they started to speak, these are the kind of things that they said to him. And I think that the issue here is that when somebody's in pain, they need us to be with them in that pain, to weep when they weep, to really grieve with them over the losses that they have. Because when we have these trials and these sufferings, it's really about a loss, whether it's a loss of our physical health or a loss of a loved one or loss of our finances or loss of a job or loss of life just not turning out the way we thought that it would. And that grieving process is so critical. And if we shortchange it and try to leap to the just being cheerful and happy and
or spiritualizing it, you know, trying to tie it in a nice spiritual bow without going through the reality of it all.
Yes, yes. And that's just stuffing it in there, and it's not going to allow us to process it in the way that God desires us to process it.
Okay, so I'm thinking of the person listening today who's had to move out of their home. They had to because of maybe a financial downturn or a job loss or something, or someone else. I know a woman who had an amazing job, was very celebrated, and then the next day she shows up and the job is gone and didn't realize even how much of her identity was tied into that. Another person who's lost his health. I mean, there's so many people listening who are in a place of loss, but maybe would have just identified it as hardship, not loss. And I think this is an important key in the pathway of healing, is that since there is loss, there's going to be grief. And you talk about these stages of grief, and I'd love for you to unpack them and why they're important to getting to another place of perspective when you're dealing with such hardship. So the stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, grief, and acceptance. So let's take them one by one. Denial is the first stage of grief. Say more about it.
Oh, yes. And that's an easy one for a lot of us to fall into, especially if we can sort of carry things through on our own. Like, you know, we lost our job, but we can quickly get another job and, you know, manage to hold the finances together that way. Or if we have an illness, but, you know, we can go to the doctor and we can still stay strong and carry through what we need to do, then we can really be in denial of the depth of our pain. And that denial really is deception. It's really a lie. And when we think about that we are not walking in the truth of God, then we really realize why denial is such a sin and why it's such a block for our connection with God.
It's probably just a terrible parallel, but I always think when I think of denial, I think of when you have the stomach flu, but you haven't come to grips with it yet. It hasn't emerged. So you're walking around, you look basically normal, but you're absolutely miserable on the inside. And you know the process you have to go through to feel better is a messy one. And so you're wanting to talk yourself out of it for as long as possible. Doesn't it sort of seem like that in some ways?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I like what you say about it being messy, because that's a good description. When we have trials or suffering, afflictions, it's messy. And if we try to keep it all pristine and clean, then we're really missing out on the depth of what God's doing right here.
And we're going to unpack in a little bit later on the show what the ripple effect of trying to short circuit some of these processes and stages, because God invites us to healing. But it often is through the valley of the shadow where we have to reconcile some things about God. And the next stage we don't like to feel and we try to avoid it at all costs is anger. And don't you think, too, because this is such an uncomfortable stage, many opt to medicate their pain rather than face and deal with, I am so angry that this happened.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. And we do. We do deny our anger a lot of times because as Christians, we might want to pretend that we're not angry, or we're embarrassed that we're angry, or we think that it's sinful to be angry. And realize that God says, in your anger, do not sin. He doesn't say, maybe if you possibly sort of sometimes have anger. He says, in your anger, do not sin. He realizes that in this fallen world, we will have anger. So it's not the anger itself that's a sin. It's what we may do with the anger that can be sinful. And stuffing it is a sinful response to our anger. But going to God with our anger, pounding on his chest, really going to him in that way is the really critical point, a turning point of processing what's going on and getting us in a place to hear from God.
But it seems that it takes some real faith and assurance that you know you're loved and that he loves you to be able to pound on his chest and let this thing out. And on the flip side, when we're so afraid of our anger, it does reflect maybe a misunderstanding of how strong and good and loving he is, don't you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I was a stuffer for many, many years. Didn't admit I had anger, didn't think I had anger, but when we do that, it pops out in other ways. Sometimes we get angry at something that's totally irrelevant to the problem, or other times it can just manifest itself as resentment or bitterness or hardness of heart, so that these are things that are not at all pleasing to God. That's why he wants us to release this to him and really come to him when we're angry. I remember a time not that long ago when I was something happened with my daughter and I was so angry. I was so, so angry. And I was trying not to be angry because I was trying to be forgiving and et cetera. And I realized I needed to go to God. And I had a walk on the beach at a very early hour of the morning where there was no one there. And I was just screaming and yelling at God on the beach. But I really needed to let that out. And he met me in that moment, letting me know how angry he was over the whole situation and releasing his comfort to me. And before I did that, I could not hear from him. I did not know what to do. I knew that I had a role. I knew I had something to do, but I didn't know what it was that I had to do because I couldn't hear him because of the block of me denying that I had the anger. But when I released it to him, not only did I receive his comfort, I actually heard from him what his plan was.
Oh, that's such a good example. Thanks for sharing that from your own personal story. So as we work through these stages of grief, we've talked denial, anger, and the next one is bargaining. What do you say?
Yes. I think a lot of us have been there too, right? Oh,
yeah.
Lord, you know, if you take this away from me, I'll give 20% in church, not just 10%. You know, if you heal me from my cancer, then I'm never going to smoke again, or I'll never argue with my husband again. And we get into these back and forth arguments, and I think, you know, sometimes God smiles at us a little bit, knowing that we're seeking him somehow in this. But truly, we need to come to a point of surrender to him, just recognizing that he's in control, he has a right to our life, he has love for us greater, deeper, beyond anything we could possibly imagine, and he has a purpose through it all.
So good. And then grief, the actual grief. So once we've moved through, we stop denying it, we've let ourselves feel the anger, then we've kind of just wished, can it be any other way? Then we get to a place where we're just sad because the reality of it hits us. Talk about that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is a place of sorrow, of mourning our loss, of really truthfully admitting that life isn't turning out as we planned and mourning it and grieving it. That requires a tremendous amount of honesty. Because if we've lost a job or our home or a loved one or a spouse has left us or these issues, we can not be truthful about how painful it is. But in order to really grieve it, we need to recognize the depth of the pain and really come to a place of mourning it, of mourning that life isn't like what we wanted it to be. But also realize that we can get stuck there. I don't want to say that we should ever put a timetable on grief. And God is certainly gracious, and he knows that certain things we will grieve over for longer periods of time, depending on the depth of the pain and what it is that we're experiencing. And also to realize that we can't compare ourselves to someone else. And if someone had a similar problem and they got over it quicker, we shouldn't be expecting ourselves to get over something on a certain timetable, but also to realize that we can get stuck here if we really are in a state of like a victim mentality and feeling like entitled and we deserve something and it's not coming out the way we wanted it to. And if we are stuck there, we won't move into that last phase of acceptance.
And, boy, that seems very important because, again, I've heard from people who are grieving. We've had people say, you know, okay, your child's been gone for 6 months. And I'm like, I cringe when I hear something like that. It's like, okay, excuse me, you know, because it would be so easy to put a weight on someone. But on the flip side, it would be destructive for a person to stay too long. I mean, is that something the Holy Spirit has to reveal to them? Or is that something that you would be called on to communicate to someone that you love?
That's a good question. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit needs to be the one to move in someone's heart, to transform them, to get them past the grieving stage. However, though, there are times when God may call us to help somebody over that last hump, to speak the truth in love. And this is something that would need to be really gentle and led by the Holy Spirit and led by God. And certainly, most of us, I think, are not called to speak that way into somebody's life.
Yeah.
Really, we are called to support them and to help them seek out resources in that. That God puts us connected into the body of Christ because He wants us to support each other in times of trial. And if there is a depth of pain, He wants us in areas where people can support us. And whether that is a class or a Bible study or a prayer team or just somebody to walk with us and meet with us and talk with us through these circumstances. He puts those people in our paths, but we also need to seek them out. If we lock ourselves in our pain, in our home, in our suffering, and don't ever reach out to other people or respond to their love that they are reaching into us, then we'll miss the help that God is providing for us in this world.
And that's what I love about your book. There's so much that we're going to be unpacking in the next half hour, just tangible tips that we can do to care for ourselves so we're positioned well to hear from God and move through these each stages of grief. And so that last stage is acceptance and peace. Say a word about that.
And that's the one we all want to get to really quickly. And that's the one that sometimes seems really elusive even. I am even myself working through things from many, many years ago that people might look in my life and say, aren't you over that yet? You know, why are you bringing this up again? And God seems to be bringing me to different levels and platforms of acceptance that He'll work through in the depth of an area and bring me to a place of peace and acceptance that's not quite complete yet, but it is a really beautiful place to be. And He lets me rest there. And then He says, you know, okay, time again. And He'll bring me into another season of growth in Him, of deeper surrender, of deeper forgiveness, of growing more intimate with Him as He brings His healing forth and then brings me to another level. So sometimes it's a stepwise fashion until we really come to the place where we really realize that it is finished, and we really are at acceptance and peace with Him.
And don't you think that, you know, to the extent that you've experienced trauma, hardship, suffering, loss, whatever, is the extent that this is more of a process? I mean, I always liken it to God setting the plow a little bit deeper. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like layers of hardened soil, and He softens the soil so things can grow in the soil of my life. But then once in a while, we're revisiting something, and I used to think I'm going around the same mountain again. Now I don't see it that way. It's no, He's setting the plow deeper because He wants to plant something richer in my life. And then there's no shame in it. It's just response, you know?
Yes, I totally agree. And I do talk to many people who are so frustrated in that. They're like, I dealt with that 2 years ago. Why is it back all over again? Did I not forgive properly? Did I not go through these stages or whatever? And it really is exactly what you're saying. Yes, you have done good work in there. You did everything you could for your spiritual level of maturity. But God is calling you somewhere deeper because He wants you to know Him more. And that's a beautiful place when He calls us to another level of that.
And then when you can see it as an invitation. Instead of feeling shame, instead of getting stuck by looking back, you go, Lord, what must you have ahead for me? I'm going to respond to you in this place. And that's what God wants to do, is just lift our chin and love that. Talking to Dr. Celeste Lee, and she is just a precious soul. She's written a book, Triumph Over Suffering. We've got a few copies to give away. How have you triumphed in suffering? What has God taught you about the things you've suffered? Or maybe you've got a question for our guest today. Now's the time to call 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. Celeste Lee in just a moment. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Celeste Lee about how to triumph over suffering. If you've been walking through a hardship, an extended long valley of suffering, and you're struggling to find perspective, to remember who God is and who you are amidst it all, you've come to the right place, because we're processing how you get through this place, how you sort through the lies from the truth, and how you remember God's love and remember that He has a plan. And I always say nobody was born to live and die in the valley. We pass through the valley of the shadow, and that enemy would love for us to think this is all there is. There's nothing more. But God does have a next place of promise for you. And Celeste, let's talk about the lies that we pick up when life lets us down. You wrote about the lies in your book, Triumph Over Suffering. What are some of the common lies that we pick up along the way?
I think one of the greatest lies is that God doesn't love us. And we often have that lie, can have that just so subtle and yet so deep that we don't realize that that's what we're believing. Because we have the head knowledge, we have the lip service, but deep, deep in our heart, we may believe a lie like this or a similar type of lie, that He's forgotten us, that we've done something to deserve this punishment, and that we may not know we believe that lie until we actually sort of stand back and see how we are living things out. And when we see our actions, when we listen to our thought processes, when we see what kind of things are coming out of our mouth, that's when we can begin to realize that there may be something in our heart that isn't aligned with the truth of what's in God's Word.
Boy, that is so good. So you're really looking at the fruit of what's happening as information to say something's off inside. And man, I appreciated this quote from your book. You said, when we believe lies instead of God's truth, we may be unable to triumph over suffering. We may be unable to pass through these stages and reach peace and acceptance. And a caller called in and she says, I feel extremely numb and I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm assuming it's a woman, maybe it's a man. I spend time in the Word every day. I've tried medication, but I'm not sure how to overcome this numbness and hardness of heart and move forward. God bless you. It was a woman who called. I'm going to read it one more time, Celeste, and love for you just to speak to her, because she's listening right now. She says, I feel extremely numb. I'm not sure where to go from here. I spend time in the Word every day. I've tried medication, but I'm not sure how to overcome this numbness and hardness of heart and move forward. God bless you, dear sister. What do you say, Celeste?
Wow. Well, let me say first that I understand, because I have been there. I understand the numbness and the hardness of heart and the difficulty hearing from God or receiving His love. And I think what can happen is that when we've been through something traumatic in our lives, and it may be something that you can put your finger on, that you know what it was, or it could be something from very long ago that you think maybe you've gotten over, or maybe you just have a small little remembrance of it and don't think it's such a big deal. But whatever it is that has been traumatic in our lives, can cause us to start building walls to protect ourselves from being hurt again. And that is a natural human thing to do, that our heart has been hurt from whatever has gone on, and we don't want other people to hurt us again. So we start to create these walls. And in creating these walls to protect ourselves, these walls also block us off from receiving from God. And it makes it impossible for His love to come through. Not that He doesn't love us. His love is there just crashing against these doors and these walls that we've put up. But He gives us free will so that we are the ones that need to open up the door to tear down these walls to allow His love to come in. And the process of doing that is, as Susie was saying earlier, really a process of recognizing in all honesty what has brought us to this painful area to build these walls, and recognizing the walls, repenting of building these walls, and asking God to come in and to bring us healing.
So it's possible, let's say, and I'm just guessing, maybe this precious soul has been through a long, long valley and her heart has just shut down towards God because she's disillusioned with life, disillusioned with God. If that's not her story, I know it's others who are listening. And you say that lies and false beliefs are actually weapons of the enemy. And so if he can get us to believe God really doesn't care and your life really doesn't matter, boy, you sure can see where the fruit of that would then be despair, a hardness of heart, and all of a sudden feeling numb.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And truly being washed with the water of His Word, immersing in the Word, is a critical element to help us to uproot the lies and replace them with God's truth. And yet the woman who's called in or written in has said that she is in the Word, and she's still not able to receive what's in the Word. So that I realize there's something else there that's blocking. So she's doing this discipline of the Word and other disciplines that we can do that are very critical as far as praising and worshiping and going to church and connecting with Christian friends and praying, and all these are really important. But if the block is still there, sometimes it can be a need for us to repent of what is holding us back from God. And this is, we really need the revelation of the Holy Spirit for what it may be that's blocking us from receiving from God. I'll use myself as an example. When I had this time, and I've had these times more than one time, but I'm thinking of a big time when I was really, really unable to receive God's love, just really feeling like I didn't count. Other people counted, but I didn't count. He certainly had nothing planned for me. I was not worthy of anything and didn't deserve anything, and he certainly didn't notice me. That the walls that I had built were really walls of unforgiveness, that I wasn't able to or willing to forgive those that had hurt me. And that created a real block between myself and God and receiving from God. And when I was really able to come to a place of release and forgiveness, that's when these walls started to come down and I was able to really receive God's love.
Saint, thanks for that example. And friend who called in, you know, just thinking about you, just know this, that enemy camps on the assumption that you won't care enough about your life to dig in like Celeste is talking and find the truth. And as you were talking, Celeste, I was thinking of Psalm 51:6. It says, you desire truth in the inmost being, and in those hidden places you'll make me know wisdom. And I think, you know, I love that because it's the inmost being where lies go to hide. And I just feel like that scripture is there because God wants truth in that inmost place, because where we once had brokenness because a lie was there, we're now going to have wisdom and credibility. And so wondering if you would just pray for this friend who called in, because I'm really praying that the Lord will expose the lie for her so He can uproot it and replace it with truth. In this very area where there's been a blockage, she can know freedom and wisdom and credibility, and she can help others. And just get a vision, as Celeste prays, for what this next place of promise might look like for you, that you might come into a place of freedom and joy again. And the land that enemy's occupied, you're twirling around and dancing and going, I've got my land back. Well, just picture that as Celeste would be praying for you right now.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Lord God, thank you that your love for us is deeper than the deepest ocean, Lord, Thank you, Lord God, that no matter where we go, your love pursues us, Lord. That if we rise up on the wings of dawn, if we go to the far side of the sea, you are there with us, Lord God. Your right hand is holding us fast. And Lord, I pray for this precious woman, Lord God. I pray that she would be able to experience the depth of your love right now, Lord God, that you would just reach down from heaven, Lord, and that you would just bypass your laws, Lord, that that when we have our own free will and we build up these walls against you, Lord God, that you say you won't violate them, Lord God, I just ask you, Lord, just to be merciful and gracious and reach down from heaven, break through this woman's walls and hold her heart. Yeah. Just let her know that you are with her, Lord God. Wrap your arms around her, Lord God. Bring her to rest her head on your chest and to hear your heartbeat, that it is beating for her, Lord God, and that you are for her and that you are fighting for her and you want her to feel you and experience you and know you in a depth of new way as never before. Lord, I pray as your Holy Spirit comes down to her that you would speak into her heart and reveal just what it is that's causing the hardness of heart and the numbness, Lord God. Just speak to her heart and invite her, Lord, to put it into your hands. And I pray, Lord God, that you would take it away from her as she releases it to you, and you would flood her with your peace and your love and your understanding, and that she would see you with new eyes as never before and realize that you have never left her or forsaken her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, God, and thank you, Celeste. And look, friend, if you're listening and if you didn't give Grace your address, make sure you do, because I want to make sure you get a copy of Celeste's book. And I just feel she did. Okay, good. I just feel that you've been in a winter of your soul, but you're about to come into the springtime of your soul. And I think as you work your way through Celeste's book, God's going to take you by the hand. And what's so amazing, and there are some disciplines and things we can do to position ourselves to best get through this valley. And you address those things in the book. And I want to talk about more of them. But also John called in. He says, I want to walk deeper with God, but I'm finding that something is preventing me from getting to that deeper place. I've walked through healing, but I still feel that barrier. What can Celeste tell me? And I hope, John, you were listening to what Celeste had to say to our other friend, because I feel like maybe a lot of that would apply to John. But maybe God's giving you another sense, Celeste, of what you can say to John.
Would you read the first sentence?
You bet. Again? He says, I want to walk deeper with God, but I'm finding that something is preventing me from getting to that deeper place. I've walked through healing, but I still feel the barrier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Walk through healing, but still feeling the barrier. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And healing is something that can come in layers and layers also. Sometimes what can happen is when we go through the first layer, we think it's finished. I have certainly been there, and I was just rejoicing, woo, it's done, and then realize as time goes on that that was only the first layer, and God has deeper healing and deeper intimacy with him. And as much as we hate to talk about repentance and our sins, I think that when we are really feeling like there's a barrier, often it is because there's some sin that God is calling us to repent of that we are still holding on to. And I want to be really, really careful when I talk about sin, because in people who are suffering and struggling, because I know that many, many people are suffering because of other people's sins and because of the trauma that has been inflicted on them from the fallen world or the evil that exists here. And to realize that when we're in a place of suffering, that it is not God punishing us for our sins. Our sins are not matched up into a one-to-one correspondence with our suffering. And just because somebody is diagnosed with cancer doesn't mean that their sins are any greater than their next-door neighbor who's healthy.
He's not a punitive God. That's so important to say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a really, really critical understanding. And yet, when something is holding us back from that depth of intimacy with God, when we've come far in our walk with him and yet we're feeling he's calling us to more and we don't know how to get there, to really spend time with God, alone, seeking, praying, fasting, asking Him to reveal just what it is that's, that is holding you back. Because when we've been injured, what God is really interested in is our response. And sometimes our response isn't a godly response. And even though, say, somebody who has been abused bears no guilt for that abuse and is not, God is not calling that person to repent of the abuse or take any responsibility or blame for something that is not theirs. That abuse, that blame belongs totally to the one who has injured them. What God is after is the person's response to that. And if that person is holding on to resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness, that is the peace that God is after in their heart. And when they recognize that and can come to Him in repentance for that, that's when the door can really be open to deeper intimacy with Him.
And that's where we pray Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything in me that offends you, and lead me in the everlasting way." I think that's so important to pray, because when we're suffering, we automatically do the math. We draw our own conclusions. It's this plus this, and it equaled this. And what I like what you're saying about this repentance is He often surprises us in our suffering. We might think it's because of this, and no, I've already sorted through that. But if you let Him dig a little deeper, it might be. I remember one time He called me, "You need to repent for your insecurity, because it's another form of selfishness, and it's downright sin, because I've already told you over and over again, I love you, and my love matters most." And when I realized, instead of feeling needing to be propped up by people's compliments to as a remedy for my insecurity, I needed to repent of it as sin, I found freedom so fast. And so there's things that we don't even realize, that if we wait before Him and dare to say, "Have your way, what in me, Lord," we might be very surprised what's actually holding us back. And don't you think that's a part of what it means to not lean on our own understanding? Because we draw our own wrong conclusions, even about our own suffering, don't we?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we really need that revelation from the Holy Spirit, which can be piece by piece by piece as we really, really seek Him with great depth of heart. I'm thinking about Job. I'm thinking about how, as the story opens up, God declares that Job is a righteous, blameless man. That's what God says about Job. And yet, he goes through this deep valley of suffering more than many of us can really even comprehend. And at the end of the book, as Job is really seeking God for the why of all of this, why did this happen? God's answer is, "I am God. I am sovereign. I created the earth. I laid the foundations of the earth. I'm the one holding the ocean in its place. Where were you when I did all that?" And as Job listens to the enormity of who God is, he realizes that he has had a prideful heart. And he comes to a place of true humility with God, and to realize that that was a part of his heart that was hidden from him until he had gone through all this affliction. And not that Job was an evil man. He was upright and blameless in God's eyes, and yet God wanted a depth of relationship with him. He wanted more, and took Job through this dark valley because he loved him so much and wanted that greater intimacy with him. Mm.
Yeah, my pastor always has said that the depth of the dealing corresponds with the height of the calling. And so, and there's nothing he lets us go through that he won't redeem many times over. In fact, I love this quote. You say, "God so carefully handpicks our trials, just enough to open our eyes to our sin, just enough to grow us spiritually, just enough to fulfill his kingdom work, and not one tear more." Love for you to say a little bit more about that. Great quote.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And if we could just see it, if we could really just see with God's eyes, we would understand in greater depth what he's doing. I think one thing that we really have to realize is that God did not invent the evil. God created a perfect world. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. No pain, no shame, no fear, no death, no illness, no crying, no tears. That's what God created, and that was his cherished plan for us. And he gave us free will, and we rejected his plan. So that his the evil that's in this world, God did not invent, and yet he takes full responsibility for everything that's going on in this world. He takes responsibility because he says, I have a plan that is greater than what you can possibly imagine. And realize that nothing comes to us that God does not have final say over. That he knows what he's doing, that he's working something greater than we can imagine, and he's with us in the pain. He lives inside of us. He's with us in the pain. When we suffer, he suffers right along with us, and yet he calls us to trust him, to trust his heart.
So good. We have time for one more call before the end of the show. Nancy's calling in from Forest Lake, Minnesota, with a question and a comment. Nancy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you just how very blessed I am by your discussion today. It's as though the Lord has just directed your minds and your tongues to speak directly to me, and I just wanted to thank you. Mm-hmm. I am just about 5 years ago, we lost our church through a terrible split that to me felt like a divorce. I mean, it was just unbearably traumatic for me. And simultaneously, because of the economic implosion, we lost so much income that we had to, you know, praise the Lord, we were able to sell our house, but we lost our life savings and everything. Wow. So it was... And I am just so tired of living what I feel to be in the Valley of Baca, and not that I have any right whatsoever to question what God is doing. I'm just tired of it. I'm ready to heal and move on, you know.
Well, hang on, Nancy. Don't go away. I want to have Celeste. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure you get prayed for, and Celeste is a powerful prayer. Celeste, would you mind praying for Nancy?
Yes, absolutely. And Nancy, I just really, really want to encourage you, because God is using this time to grow you in amazing, amazing ways. Keep turning to him. Keep turning to him. Keep asking him to reveal your heart, to show you what he's doing. He's growing your trust in him, and he needs your trust to be so, so deep in him because of the plan and purpose he has for you on the other side. And he's not going to let you out of here until he has grown your trust to the depth that he wants it. So ask him for that, to keep growing your trust. I'm thinking of this passage in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at what is unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And Lord God, I just want to lift Nancy up to you. I ask that you would open her eyes and show her that what she is going through now is temporary, but what you are working in her heart is eternal, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that she would be able to really lay this in your hands, surrender this to you, Lord God, to consider it all rubbish compared to the surpassing value of knowing you, Jesus, and that you would grow her heart towards you in such a depth of trust in you, Lord God, an understanding of who you are, and learning how to depend completely on you, Lord God, for your glorious riches to supply all of her needs. I pray, Lord God, that you would use this time to root out all self-sufficiency and independence, and you would grow her to that place of complete dependence upon you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open her ears to hear your voice, and that she would have such a tremendous connection with you, Lord God, as your spirit flows through her, and you fill her deeper and deeper with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that as she comes out of this valley, Lord, she is walking step by step in your plan, Lord God, so connected to you, holding on to your hand, Lord God, and not letting go, knowing that you alone are Savior, you alone are the one who will carry her through this time, and trusting you, Lord God, completely in trust of you. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace. Amen.
Amen. Nancy, God bless you, dear sister. Wow. Bless her. Wow. Oh, I just still have about 4 or 5 more pages of notes, and yet the time has just flown by. In just a moment, I'm going to have you pray, just if you don't mind. But I'm thinking, you know, we hear from our listeners. I love hearing from our listeners. And I know this is the case all over the place, but there's just so many of our dear listeners who are in the winter, in the valley of their lives, but that there's a spring that comes after that. And I've learned just through things that I've suffered that how I fare in suffering really does determine how I fare on the other side. As far as what attitudes I get against God and whatever I choose to believe, there's something about spoils that are ours for the taking in that place. And it really does determine how we walk out the other side. It doesn't affect God's love for us, but really, are our arms going to be full of the spoils, or are we going to walk out beat up? Are we going to walk out strengthened or beat up? Say a word to that person, just that charge to really trust him in this place, because you can, because there is a next season coming.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think that the growing in trust is the most critical thing, because God has such purpose for us. And if we try to fulfill those purposes without the depth of trust and dependence upon him that he desires, then we're going to be trying to carry these things out in our own flesh, in our own pride, and they won't have eternal value, and they will fail. And God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to have the victory, so that he is doing whatever is necessary to prepare us and equip us fully for the purposes he has.
Wow. Celeste, you've got to come back. Like I said, I've got 5 more pages of questions for you. And this, to me, this is so wonderful, rich combination of wise wisdom, practical things to do, and a deep spiritual perspective. That's what I love just about talking with you. And as we wrap up, I'm thinking of Nancy and others like her who are weary and well-doing, but that God would just continue to build them up. Would you just pray for every one of our listeners who is in that place where Nancy is?
Yes, Lord God, thank you for the tremendous opportunity to be here, Lord God. And I lift these people up to you, Lord God, those that are in these valleys of trial, Lord God, knowing that you say that you are close to the brokenhearted, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that you are close to them, that your eye is upon them, that you are the silversmith. And when you are holding the silver in the fire, that you need to keep your eye on it. You need to be so closely attending to these people so that they will not be burned. And I pray, Lord God, that they would feel your presence there, Lord God. Give them a little glimpse of what you are doing, Lord. Give them a glimpse, Lord, that they know that you are working something mightily in their lives, and that you are with them, and that you will never forsake them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, and that you are working more than we can imagine. Amen.
Dear Celeste, bless you for your time. You are a dear sister. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
To Live the Promise, I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com, along with the music and the scriptures referenced throughout the hour. You can also find podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. Even our weekend programs are there as well. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.